If we don't have biblical community, we can't have unity. Unity, when we have that together as brothers and sisters, then you know what? Then we have a biblical community. And Jesus talks about that many, many, many times throughout Scripture. We see the stories. If you've been following along in the Belief series and you've been following along with the stories and you've read your stories this week, there's many examples that they point to of the Israelite community being of great importance. And who is at the center of that community? God. When you're in the book of Leviticus and reading that, as long as you don't fall asleep, you read through and you read through and you probably go, okay, there's all this technical stuff about setting up the altar, about setting up this and doing this and doing this, and everything had to have its place, its precise place. And you go, what's that all about? Well, it's setting up God to be the center. He is the most important thing in the Israelites' life. The most important thing in their community, the most important thing in their culture, in their society, is God. And everything revolves around Him. When creation happens, we read about God creating all the earth and the sun and the moon and the stars and the animals and the ocean and everything. And then what happens? He creates man. And what does He say about man? He says it's good. And then He created woman and said it was very good. That's not quite how it goes. But He made man, and He saw man was by himself. He was alone. He had all the animals around him and all that good stuff and everything that God created. Nothing had been tarnished by sin. And he even had God. Commune with God daily. But God saw something in man's heart. Wasn't quite, if you want to say, good enough. Saw man was lonely, and so He created woman out of man. And then He said, what? Very good. Community. We look at God Himself, and God is just not Himself. If you remember Pastor Cody, he put it so well. God is what? One and three. Or three in one. God Himself is what? Triune. Community. Perfect in Himself in every aspect, in everything. When Jesus came and He ministered to the world, isn't it interesting that He just didn't go out by Himself and go, Jesus could have done this. He's God. And gone out and done all the work Himself. But no, what's He choose to do? He rallies 12 disciples. Individuals come along, and you know what? They're not professionals. They weren't the religious scholars that had studied the Torah and studied and studied. And you know what? And they were ready to go out. He chose fishermen. Hey, I'm going to give you a quick course on being God's servant, doing God's work. And you're going to save people. You're going to cast out demons. You're going to heal the sick. You're going to make people see. Well, many had come and gone in the community. Many people had professed to be Jesus, to be the Messiah. And this had been so much so that the Pharisees and the Sadducees had developed tests to make sure that, okay, you had to pass four things. And the penultimate was what? Raise a person from the dead. Every single person that came forward claiming to be the Messiah was put to death, including the Messiah himself, Jesus. But Jesus, when he chose his disciples, he didn't have to do that, but he chose to. He built a community around himself. And he actually built a real close community between those three disciples that were so precious to him, that he connected with, that he shared the deepest things with, and one particular one that laid upon his chest at the Lord's Supper. Is biblical community important? Is community important? Yeah, it is. 100%. Because even the Bible, when we read it, it's a communal thing. It was written to the community. It was written to the people, not just to you and me. But it was written to the people, the churches. And that's how it was read. It was done orally, and then they had the scriptures, and then they read it out publicly. It was taken together. The Israelites, when they got into trouble, who was punished? One individual? Yeah, they were corrected. But the whole community suffered. What's Jesus talk about yeast and loaves? He says a little bit of yeast is what? Pollutes the whole loaf. And it's gone. Community was the most important thing. The Israelites, when they're walking to the promised land, Moses is leading them, and he sends out the 12 spies, and they come back, and how many spies give a bad report? 10. How many spies give a good report? 2. And what happens? They follow the 10 and ignore the 2. And what happens? All the Israelite community wanders in the desert for how many years? 40. Until what? Until that generation dies off, passes away, so that God can build up and use a new generation and go forward and do and inherit the land, do what he wants. Well, they didn't know any better. False. Why? Because they had the stories. Their fathers. Their grandfathers. They heard about the Exodus from Egypt. The miracles that God had performed, that God did, separating the Red Sea and walking across and having manna. Their shoes, the soles of their feet, their shoes never wore out. And they did that all together. They denied Christ altogether. Community is the most important thing. And it's to be protected. It's to be watched out over. This church, this community is a loaf. And if a little bit of yeast, which is sin, comes into the community, what does it do? Pollutes the whole thing. So he says, take care. He says, if you're brothers and sisters, you speak to your brother and sister. You correct them. You offer a gentle rebuke. And if they accept it, what? You've won your brother or sister. And you've restored what? Unity and community. And what's the basis of that unity? And the basis of community? What is it? Love. Christ. What Jesus did, what Jesus said. Jesus was the ultimate communal servant. He came from heaven to earth to do his Father's will and to what? He served man. See, within community, you have to have the same mindset and the same heart. We've talked about the last couple of weeks about what? What's the first thing we talked about? Single-mindedness. What's the other thing we talked about last week? Anybody? Total surrender. Is it any coincidence that the author put those back-to-back just before biblical community? See, you can't be living in the idea of God's community, his biblical community, without being what? Single-minded. And totally surrendered. You cannot live in community that way. What would happen if some of you didn't believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? And some did. What do you think worship would be like in the church? Conflicted? Confusing? Division? Sure. But we all have to have one single mind and have one single purpose as to why we're here. What did Jesus do? What did he accomplish? What was his order? Do we know? Love God. Right? Love God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul. And the second is like it. And what's the second? Love your neighbor like yourself. Didn't pay dick at all to say that. Love God, love your neighbor as yourself. That's what it's built on. Everything is built on that. And so we look in Acts 2, chapter 42 through 47, and we see this idea of biblical community and what is all surrounded and what is all it's all about. And you know what? When you read about it, if you don't stop and you really look and think about those scripture passages, you're going to miss it. Starting in Acts chapter 2, verse 41, says this. So those who accepted his message were baptized. Okay? Who's he talking about? Anybody? Talking about Jesus? No. He's talking about Peter. Okay? Peter just reiterated the story in the sermon in the gospel of Jesus. So those who accepted his message were baptized. Okay, first thing. They accepted the teaching. They believed. This is a central component about a biblical community, is that you accept the teachings of Jesus, his command, his will. We follow it. We accept it. And as a result of that, the teachings, they were baptized. So belief becomes before what? Baptism. And when a person is baptized, we call it what? Believer's baptism. Because belief has to come before baptism. Baptism is a signifying that you identify with Christ. And that you die to yourself and you live anew to him. You rise anew. So they believed the message that was preached to them, the teaching that was given to them, and they obeyed and were baptized. A lot of people get hung up about baptism. Why? Because of pride. Because of pride. We can say, well, you know what, Jesus doesn't clearly talk about baptism and that we need to. Did he give us an example? He did. And what's it say, where else does it say in Scripture? That the student is not greater than the master or the teacher, right? But he is like the master or the teacher. So if Jesus was baptized, you surmise what? We should be baptized. Because it's an act of obedience. Be baptized. I should be baptized. On that day, they listened to the message, they accepted the message, and they were baptized. It was a long day. There was 3,000 people that were baptized. Think about that. Okay, we go over that and we go, 3,000 people were added to their number that day. Did they track it? You know, there's somebody with an abacus going, 1, 2, 3, 4. We get that, but 3,000 people were baptized. How long do you think that took? I think Jesus probably had his disciples help him out. So it was a little bit quicker. This is an incredible event, everybody. Because baptism in those days, if you chose to be baptized and you said, Christ is the Messiah, I believe, you were cast out of the synagogue. You were done. You were persecuted by the Jewish people who did not accept him as the Messiah. Especially the scribes and the Pharisees, and the Sadducees. You were put out. Your family would go, you're following Jesus? Out you go. Because you sully the family name. And it was your responsibility, it was the family's responsibility to keep pure in following God. So this was costly. Not like today. In the church today, if you decide to be baptized, do you get persecuted for it? You don't. We celebrate that. We have freedom to do that. We have a baptismal tank right here. But there is a day coming, everybody, when your faith and your profession of faith in Christ is going to cost us. And to stand up and say, I want to be baptized because I'm a follower of Christ. We read about it in Revelation. It's going to cost your life. Will we bend the knee? So this is what baptism was back then. This was a big event. Not like we think about here, oh, someone's getting baptized. Great, awesome, cool. So they obeyed. They heard the message. They believed. They obeyed. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayers. Okay, so there's four things right there. Devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. What's devotion mean? Anybody give me an example of devotion? What's devotion? Are you devoted to your spouse? I am devoted to my spouse. She'd kill me if I'm not. But when you stand up at that wedding altar, you take your vows, that is to be forever. And unfortunately in our culture, that means when we take our vows, I will be with you as long as you meet my needs. If you don't, I'll move on to somebody else. But marriage is between a man and a woman and God. It's communal. It's a community thing. It represents God himself. Marriage is between a man and a woman and God. It's a three. Just like God is one in three. It's a communal aspect. It may shock you that in Romans chapter 12, verse 4 and 5, I read you this verse. Says this, now as we have many parts in one body, and all the parts do not have the same function, in the same way, we who are many are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. What's that passage referring to? Romans chapter 12. Paul talks about the body metaphor. And how the church is a body. The body is a community of parts that work together. Right? He's talking about believers and a spiritual aspect that you and I all belong to one body. And each individual person has gifts and talents and hearts and ability that God has given them. But those abilities, those talents, that gifting is for who? For the body. It's not just for me. It's just not for me to make as much money as possible and go and be merry and do everything I want. It's for the edification and the building up of who? Your brothers and sisters. It's like if you play music. You know, I could hide away in my closet at home and just play my own music. But God has given me that talent. I'd be careful to call that a talent. But he's given me that ability to play music. And then I'm supposed to use that to glorify him and build up the body. Okay? You got me? Got what God said? In order for the body to function healthy, in order for it to function the way it's supposed to function, everything needs to do what it's supposed to do, right? The lungs need to breathe. The heart needs to pump. The veins need to transport the blood here and there and everywhere. The nervous system needs to be able to tell you when you've got your hand on something that you shouldn't. God's built that all together, and when it functions as it's supposed to, we call it health. But when something isn't functioning the way it should, we call it what? Sick. Diseased. Broken. Unhealthy. Okay? So Paul brings in this metaphor of the body, and he says, the church is this body. And the church is built together with these instruments that God has given talent and ability to, that has a work to do. And that's you and me. But if we don't do our share, our part, then what happens? The body's sick. The body's broken. It's unhealthy. And then the body cannot glorify God as he desires. Caught me? Catch what the scriptures are saying? Community is a big thing with God. He's built everything to function together. We are not lone rangers. Christianity and being a believer is not about being a lone ranger. It's more like being what? The Three Musketeers. You remember that show? All for one and one for all. Well, you know, the Lone Ranger had Tonto. Tonto was always getting into trouble. But Christianity is not supposed to be a Lone Ranger thing. It's community. It's loving and caring for one another. It's being devoted to what God has said. So it's being devoted to his truth. It's being devoted to a fellowship together. Your brothers and sisters. It's devoted to breaking bread together. That's the Lord's Supper. You know what they did is they had churches like we do today, that was the temple. It was the big central thing. But Christians would meet on Solomon's porch in the temple. But they would also meet in their homes. And it wouldn't be one single home all the time. They would move it around, meeting each other's homes. And they would have meals together. And then they would celebrate the Lord's Supper together. And why do we celebrate the Lord's Supper? Anybody? So what? To remember Jesus. To honor Jesus, to obey what Jesus told us to do until he comes. They did this. This was an identifying mark of the body. And they did it together, communal. And then it says they were dedicated to what? To prayers. They were devoted to prayers. Just a quick plug, we have a prayer summit tonight. And we're devoted to prayer, to what God desires us to do. They interceded for one another. They prayed for one another. They lifted one another up. They prayed for situations and about situations for God to act. And it says, in those days of that early church, wonders and miracles were performed by the apostles. Verse 43. Then fear came over everyone, and many wonders and signs were being performed through the apostles. Fear came over everyone. Who's everyone? Everyone. Non-believers as well. The church wasn't a joke. They heard the stories of people being saved, of people being raised, of sickness and blindness being healed, and fear, awe came over the people. The church was powerful. It wasn't marred at the beginning by sin. It was powerful. The presence of the Spirit was upon the people and upon the apostles, and they performed signs and wonders. Their hearts were dedicated in total surrender to God, and their minds were single-minded. Because it says in verse 44, now all the believers were together and had everything in common. One purpose, one mindset. We didn't swerve to the left, we didn't swerve to the right. We're here for this one thing. It's God. Loving God, loving people, obeying. This is an amazing thing when I read through the commentaries in this whole thing that everybody had everything in common. So they sold their possessions and property and distributed the proceeds to all as everyone had need. Nobody went without that had a need. It was met. People that had stuff that they could sell, they sold to give to those in need. Some people say, well, that sounds like communism. Did you know Karl Marx? You know who Karl Marx is? Did you know he grew up in a pastor's house? You know who he is? The father of communism. I think he probably got the idea in this passage. But this is biblical community, and communism is different. Communism, you're expected. You can do this, you will give this. It's totalitarian. You're told this is what you're going to do. The difference here with biblical community, people didn't have to be told. They just did it. Because they loved God. And they asked, what would God have me to do in this situation? What would Jesus do? You know, that person is in need. I have lots. I'm going to support them. It was motivated out of love. Verse 46, and it says, and every day they devoted themselves to meeting together in the temple complex and broke bread from house to house. Now, you know, this is probably flowing from the Old Testament practice. This is what our fathers did. We met at the temple every day, every day, every day, every day, gave sacrifices, gave praise to God. Gave our dove, gave our cattle. But it's incredible. Can you imagine meeting with your brothers and sisters every day? How many to you is that heaven? Oh, one. But this is how devoted they were to what God told them to do, to the unity of that community of being together. We should be the same. Every day they devoted themselves together, to be together, to pray for one another, to be taught, to encourage one another, to build one another up, even to rebuke one another if needed. They ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart. What was the mark of this community? Seems like they were joyful all the time. They were together. They ate food with gladness and simplicity of heart. Thank you. Gratitude. They praised God and they're having favor with all the people. Who are all the people? All the people. Non-believers alike. Favor. Wow. Why did they have that favor? Because they were doing what God wanted them to do. They were living and modeling this community thing that just happened. They followed and they listened and obeyed God and did what He wanted. And they were single-minded in one purpose. God is honored in all things, and I will follow Him in all ways. Jesus said this, we're doing this. That's what they did. And then it closes with this amazing statement, and every day, the Lord added to them those who were being saved. Isn't that amazing? That's a powerful church. That's a powerful community. And you have to wonder, how far have we gone off the rails? But it's not all lost. Because God is God of second and third and fourth and 789th chance to redeem, to redo, to rededicate, to obey, to love, to follow. That's who God is. The story of Nehemiah, it's an incredible story. They built a wall, and we're thinking, oh, just this wall right here, right? Took them 52 days. Well, that's pretty slow. I could do that in about an hour. No, they rebuilt the wall around the temple. And it took every single person. Every single person bought in to build the wall to contribute because they were of one mind, one heart, one devotion. Women, children, husbands, fathers, priests. Everybody built that wall and they built it in 52 days. If they hadn't been of one single mind, one single heart, do you think that would have ever been accomplished? Because the world was amazed. We should be as well. Because that's unusual. Each one received the encouragement from the other to keep going. Each one defended the city against an enemy, was prepared. There was structure and order how it would be built and how to organize it and how to go about it. The people did not seek to be served, but they sought to what? To serve. Do we seek to serve? That's a big mark of biblical community that God has. Because Jesus came to what? To serve. He served and built. He modeled. He built a community. And then when His time was done, He said, what? Go and do likewise. And He said, I'll be with you always. And in fact, He said, what? You'll do more than what I did. Only if what? We're of a single mind, a surrendered heart, and that we're clear on what we exist for and what we're supposed to be doing. We love God, we love people, we love our neighborhood. And when we do that, God will give us favor. Favor with the people. One thing other to point out here in that verse in Acts, verse 47. And it says, and every day the Lord added. Who added? The Lord added. It wasn't the advertising campaign. It wasn't me going out and doing the evangelism, impressing that person, ding, 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 ding. When our hearts are right with God and we love God and we obey God, what does the Lord promise to do? He promises to add. He promises to add. It's not about us. It's all about Him. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father, this is a wonderful thing that you've created. This idea of community. It didn't come from anybody else. It came from you. You are community. And Lord, you've instructed us how to go about doing that. And if we follow your will, follow your commandments, love you, love our brothers and sisters, you will build our community. Father, humble us. Let us think less about ourselves and more about each other, as your word says in Philippians. That image, Lord, of a marriage. In Romans, Paul uses the image of a body. You also use the image of a marriage. That we are not our own, but we are our brothers and sisters. As a result of us being yours, we are each other's. We are married to one another. Father, bless us. Help us to obey. Help us to love. Help us to submit to you. In your ways, in your name, we pray, Lord Jesus. Amen.